Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out, a bad seed, a broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad lot, bad dude, bad rap, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatial right across the river into the woods from where Granny took all of my Sunday driver. It was hidden in a bag. I couldn't believe she found it when she was drinking J-Mo and Vino on a weekender in New York City. The Big Apple. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion check it up should do, but all my friends that come around, flats of party up, rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, what a mess this town's a tatter, my brains splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out, ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Mafia tonight, and I gotta tell you, I am surprised that the Chiefs are just absolutely blowing out the Ravens in Baltimore, and I mean, it is ugly. 27-10 early in the third. And I just can't even fathom what I'm watching because I've been going back and forth between the hockey, Lightning up 2-0 going to the third. They can win the cup in 20 minutes. So it's hard for me to get into it. But I know this, what I've seen so far is a complete lack of any kind of creativity, any kind of offense, any kind of play calling, any kind of anything. I mean, the Ravens look terrible up till this point. The first half was a disaster. I mean, I think Lamar Jackson threw for 35 yards. Meanwhile, Mahomes threw for like 270 yards and a couple touchdowns. And I mean, maybe 3 touchdowns. The guy went off and he is just making the MVP look non-existent tonight. In Baltimore. That's what I can't believe. It's not the score that I can't believe. It's just how bad the Ravens look and how bad Lamar Jackson looks. I mean, that's the best team in the AFC. My ass. The Chiefs are kicking their ass. It's their world and everybody else is living in it, apparently. It's Farrell on the bench. We'll be here for a couple hours.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For all on a bench. So anyway, Jackson, 8 of 18, 42 yards, a 2.3-yard average. He's been sacked twice, and I don't know what is going on with him. But here's Mahomes, 21 of 29, 291 yards, a 10-yard average, 3 touchdowns, no picks, no sacks, a 138.7 rating. And I mean to tell you, Mahomes rushed for a touchdown, and then you got Hardman caught one, Hill caught one, Sherman caught one. I mean, my God, they're just obliterating them. And now the Ravens are driving, but, like, you know, I got to be honest. I don't know if you were watching this, and he just threw a touchdown. The guy dropped it. The tight end dropped the ball in the end zone and got hurt doing it, rolled his ankle. So I'm sitting here watching the game, Moff, and the thing I noticed was Andrews dropped it. He got into the end zone wide open and dropped it and then got hurt. So everything's going wrong for him. Had it right in his hands, dropped it. So the thing I noticed is, like, all they're just, like, running the ball up the middle. And then, like, he's dropping back to pass and throwing little screen passes and little dump passes, and there's nothing to their, like there's just absolutely nothing to their offense. Like, it was like, ho hum, okay, all right, it's 6-0, then it's, you know, then it's 13-3, and then it's 13-10, then 20-10, and then 27-10. I mean, like, they didn't do anything. It was like Malaise City. They, you know, they're down 27-10. He's still handing off up the middle. I'm like running it up the middle. Like, what are they going to get the running game going now? Down 27-10. I mean, can you throw any kind of creative passes? Can you spread it out? Can you throw outside? Can you throw over the middle over 20 yards? Can you hit a slot receiver? Like, I'm sitting here watching this guy. I can't even believe what I'm watching because he looks so bad. Like, this is the MVP we're talking about. And he looks like a pop quarterback. So you're telling me that the guy that wins the MVP is only capable of running the ball? He can't throw it?
No, I'm not saying he's only capable of running it. But, I mean, they're obviously trying to open things up now. They've added some more weapons for him in the passing game. But I still don't think they've shown that yet, that they have that ability to just go full-on passing. This isn't an offense where they can just go wide open, five wide, you know, sling the ball to tight ends, wide receivers all over, and not even put it back in the backfield. They have to have someone back there, always. That's just the way they're built.
Wow. I mean, you know, I don't know what I'm watching, but they do not look good to me. Like, it's funny, they were 2-0. They, you know, they look good. Everybody thought they looked good. Everybody, you know, thought that they, like, did you think for 1 minute that they were going to go into this game tonight at home? And I don't care about fans, but just playing in their stadium, that they were going to not be able to do a thing? That they were literally going to get blown out? I mean, the game was 27-10 at the half. Did you think for 1 minute that this great match, they sold this game as the greatest Monday Night Football game in 10 years, and it has been anything but. It's been lopsided, one-sided, boring. I'm just watching one guy go off, and I'm watching the other team not able to do anything.
Yeah, no, I did not expect this at all. I was on Chiefs. I thought they were going to win. I thought it was going to be a close game throughout. I thought it was going to be back and forth. You know, I score, you score, you know, punch you, punch me, bat, yeah, just a battle the whole time, because that's what we've seen from them the last 2 years when they've played, is that it's been a tight game, a rough game. You really got to scratch and claw for everything you got. That hasn't been the case at all. I did not expect this blowout where they're just going to open it up and Baltimore was going to be able to do anything, because Baltimore's defense is better than some of the defenses the Chargers have faced, and they struggled last week against the Chiefs against the Chargers. So I thought it was going to be a tough one for them. I thought they're going to have to play like last week, where they might have to come from behind, or they might have to just pull out, you know, a lot less plays in order to get it done than they usually do, than not the explosive plays they usually get. No way in hell did I expect this.
Well, they're down two touchdowns right now. Tucker hit a field goal, but they're down 14, and there's 6 minutes left in the third. And the thing that I've noticed is that, oh, it's pretty obvious that Mahomes has sliced through that defense like a Ginsu knife. I mean, he's moved the ball up and down the field like they're not even there. It's almost like I'm watching a scrimmage where one team is allowed to walk and the other team's allowed to run. Like, it's, I don't even know. Like, they moved down the field when they scored to make it 20-10, right? And that was with, like, you know, before the half, right? With like 2 minutes left. And then they scored again. I mean, they are just going up and down the field like it's like a bad matchup in college where, you know, you got a powerhouse. It's Clemson taking on Citadel. I mean, honestly, right,
the only touchdown they have is on a kick return, too. They haven't scored at all the offense except for two field goals.
That's right, because the guy ran one back 90-plus yards, and then they can't do anything. I never thought, to be honest with you, I actually never thought Kansas City's defense was that good. I never thought it was that good. Either. I thought it was okay. I thought it was, you know, solid. I thought it was, you know, I thought they won the Super Bowl because of Pat Mahomes, not because of their defense. Now, I know everybody they gave all that money to Clark and Ford and all these guys, but the bottom line is I felt that, you know, it was Pat Mahomes the reason they won the Super Bowl. No other reason. You know, like when the Giants won the Super Bowl, they won it with defense, with Eli Manning, right? And what they did to Tom Brady. So this team won it because of Pat Mahomes, in my opinion. You're down 10 with 7 minutes to go, whatever it is in the Super Bowl, and a guy goes off, right? And just takes over the game, the bomb to Hill. And then, you know, you knew it was coming once they scored that one. So all I know is this guy's just doing whatever he wants to Baltimore. And, like, I have to be honest with you. I've lost all kinds of respect for the Ravens tonight. Like, this is a big game against a great opponent, the Super Bowl champs, and they laid an egg like no other. Like, I don't even – do you think the Steelers would lay this kind of egg defensively against Mahomes? Do you think he'd do the same thing to them?
No, I don't. I think they have a better pass rush and their secondary is fierce. I thought Baltimore was, you know, solid. I thought they were great, but obviously their defensive numbers were ballooned up by playing some bad teams. This is just a terrible performance by them. This is the same thing as we saw last week with the Saints. Everyone's talking about Drew Brees, and they're a lock to, you know, be one of the top teams in the NFC, trying to go to the Super Bowl and win his last year, and then they completely lay an egg against Vegas. Same thing happening to Baltimore right now. Another one where we're like, this is a Super Bowl contender. They should be there. They're going to be ones we have to put some money on and watch out for. And now you got to question that.
I mean, question it. Like, if they play him again, who's going to bet on him besides no one? Like, after this thing tonight, it's like they, I mean, do they not own him? They're in their heads. I mean, they went across the country to play in their stadium, and they have just absolutely pulled their pants down and mooned him. I mean, they just absolutely mooned him. I mean, there's no getting around it. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to Bob Nightingale of USA Today, because the baseball playoffs start tomorrow with four games. And then on Wednesday, there's eight games. So know this, tomorrow's all about baseball because there's 13 minutes left in the hockey game. It's still 2-0 Tampa. So if they just handle their business for 13 minutes, they're drinking booze out of the Stanley Cup tonight.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
For all on the bench, Maroon just went in on a 2-on-1 break and cranked a slap shot, but Hudobin made the save. 2-0, under 13 to go, and the Lightning are up, you know, a couple goals. Actually, under 12 now, 11:46 left, and they just need to finish them off, bottom line. If they give up a goal, it'll make it hairy. Otherwise, they're going to be drinking from the Stanley Cup in a few minutes. So they just have to handle their business. And then Kansas City's definitely handling their business. They are absolutely schooling the Ravens tonight. They're up 2 touchdowns right now. So the baseball playoffs start tomorrow. Thank God. I just can't wait to see that because, first of all, I think it's better than obviously the regular season is like morphine watching those games. But the playoffs are a whole different beast. Every pitch counts, every batter, every out. Every shift, everything that happens has meaning. And then in the regular season, just nobody cares. But now the games matter and there's pressure and it ratchets up. Bob Nightingale is with the USA Today. He's been a longtime friend of the show. And he's on the bench tonight to talk all about the baseball playoffs starting Tuesday with 4 games and then Wednesday, 8 games. I think the same thing on Thursday. I could be wrong. How you doing, Bob?
Yeah, doing great, Scott. Thanks.
So let me ask you, you heard what I said about the playoffs, right? Like, I got to tell you that, and I know you cover it and have a different respect for the game probably than most people, you know, average fans, right? So I think, but the average fan, I think, just feels like nowadays, you've heard people say it's boring and this and that, baseball, but you don't hear people saying that about the playoffs. Like when they get to the playoffs, it's just such a different game. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I mean, it's the best time of year. I think the best time of year is playoffs. Second best is spring training. But yeah, it just, you know, you see the finish line, you've gone this far. And I think you talk to managers, coaches, players, they'll tell you, hey, you win a World Series this year, you can be remembered for a long, long time just because almost like what you've had to go through so far just to get to this point is like, man, you know, if you can somehow pull this off, be unreal accomplishment.
Were you, disappointed? Did you think the – because I actually, you know, the Giants and who was it? The Phillies, they both – choked and didn't get it done over the weekend. But didn't you feel like at some point, do you remember like a week ago when the Phillies lost the doubleheader and they just didn't seem like they were playing good baseball at all going into the weekend? For me, when they lost that doubleheader, I felt like, you know, what's going on here? This team's not going to the playoffs. Sure enough, they didn't make it.
Yeah, just a collapse once again. I mean, with the last 3 years, it's unbelievable how poorly they played down the stretch. So it'll be interesting to see what, you know, what they do there. Did they make any changes, wholesale changes, you know, besides bringing new bullpen? There's a general manager, Matt Klentak. Is he safe? Yeah, there was no excuse for just crumbling down the stretch like they did. I mean, no one had a free fall like they did. I mean, even that last day, like you said, I mean, to have a chance to even make the playoffs, and you know, there's, you know, the Brewers losing, there's the Giants losing, and you know, when they lose 5-0. So yeah, I think of all the teams that didn't make the playoffs, that team's certainly the most disappointing.
Did you think that the Giants were gonna fail and that the Brewers would get in? Because I didn't. I thought they were actually gonna get the last spot.
Well, they certainly had the schedule, and then they split with the Rockies, and then the Padres had nothing to play for. There was already sold, you know, sewn up their spot, but just played you know, terrible. You know, they gave up that three-run homer, the walk-off homer, the double-hitter game, walk-off homer at their ballpark, and then, you know, even the last day it was all set. You know, they had Padres had taken Machado out of the game, Tatis out of the game. Even they even lost a DH because of the catcher getting hurt, and still couldn't take advantage. So, you know, here we are. We've got two teams with losing records making the playoffs for the first time.
Do you remember when they it was the game with the Rockies and they were up 3-0, and then the next thing you knew it was 3-1, then it was 3-2, and I was on the air doing the show on TV that day, and I remember getting off the air and I said, they're gonna blow this game, and sure enough they lost. Remember 5-4, and that was kind of the story of their last 5 days, just, you know, blowing opportunities and not getting it done. Let me ask you another question before I get into all these games. The Red Sox got rid of Renicki. Is there any thought at all of bringing Alex Cora back?
I don't think Chaim Bloom, you know, the new GM, wants to. I think he wants to grab his own guy and, you know, kind of shape with his personality. That being said, he works for an ownership group that loves Alex Cora. The fan base loves Alex Cora. So do the players. So that would certainly be the most popular move. We'll see what happens. I don't think, I mean, Chaim Bloom has been very adamant about wanting to go somewhere else for a new hire. But as long as Cora is still sitting out there, it's kind of tough to ignore. But right now, I'd say that Cora is not there.
When you see the Astros, I don't know if you saw those staggering numbers of what they hit in 2017 compared to what the same guys are hitting now. Whatever, 3 years later. I mean, it was staggering. Like, Altuve was hitting like 360, and now he's hitting 219. Correa was hitting 346, and now he's hitting 260. The rest of them, it's even worse. Bregman, all of them, it's terrible. The numbers are absolutely befuddling how bad they are. Did you see those numbers from 2017 to 2020, how different they were? If you saw it, do you believe that they just had a bad year, or do you believe it's because they cheated so much?
I think it's just the repercussions of what they went through. I think just the scrutiny and the pressure. I mean, I thought, hey, without fans, you know, they won't be bothered so much. But these guys were melting down in spring training when even you had small spring training crowds, particularly Altuve, and it carried over. They worried about Altuve in spring training. So I think it was a mental thing. You know, some guys just had bad years. I think, you know, a guy like George Springer, you know, he's a star. I think he just had one of those bad years. And, you know, guys had them. I mean, look at the defending MVPs of a year ago. You know, Bellinger had a bad year. Christian Yelich wasn't the same guy. So I just think it happened. I don't think those guys, you know, benefited by 60 points by cheating. But I do think it had a psychological effect because everybody was talking about it all spring and even during the season.
Do you think that Altuve knew the pitch that was coming when he hit the home run against Chapman? Because I do.
I mean, he's certainly look like it, because you know who's going to be sitting on the off-speed pitch. But you know, hey, MLB investigated and stuff like that, could not find anything. Those guys swear up and down there was no cheating last year. Even Chapman will say that wasn't a good slider. You know, is an okay slider. So yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, but it was funny that he's sitting on a slider instead of waiting for that fastball like everybody else does.
I actually, to be honest with you, Bob, I don't believe a word that comes out of their mouths. Like, are you kidding? Like, they swear up and down, and baseball couldn't find anything, and we're still like, you know, it's like watching a TV murder movie, like where you just, the guy denies it until they finally, you know, put him on death row. I just don't believe anything they say because they're proven liars. They proved that they were cheating. Everyone knows they're liars and cheats. Now all of a sudden they found God 2 years later. I don't believe a word that comes out of their mouths.
Well, I mean, that you remember is like, yeah, let's be honest. They weren't the only ones cheating. They're the only ones that got caught. So with the video monitors and stuff like that, you know, they took it too far. But there were plenty of teams doing stuff. But, you know, hey, MLB started cracking down. Remember, in last year, there were people watching every video room and everything else. I think it would have been almost impossible to cheat the way they were doing last year. Too many people were watching. In 17, yeah, they were cheating. But I really believe there were plenty of others, too. But they're just too blatant about it.
Bob Nightingale with us from the USA Today. So Bieber and Cole, it doesn't get any better than that. I have to tell you that I feel like, Bieber's got the pitching triple crown. He's going to get the Cy Young. The guy has been a strikeout machine. No one can hit him. He's been really the big story in baseball this year for sure. But I have to say that Cole is an amazing pitcher in his own right, although he gives up home runs. So I have to tell you now, we're going to come back from the break and we're going to have more time to talk about these four games and all the series in this next segment. But I just want to say, because I'm running out of time here, that I feel like I'm scared to death to bet on Cole because I just feel like he gives up home runs. Like all it's going to take is a Ramirez home run to win the game, or somebody hits a home run and it's a 1-0 game. I could see that because of the way Bieber mows through lineups. And I have to tell you, I don't think that, and just hold this food for thought, Bob, I don't think the Indians are afraid of the Yankees. And I don't think that Bieber's afraid of the Yankees. And I've seen the Yankees bats go silent in the postseason. We'll come back and break down all the games with Bob Nightingale next. Right, we're talking to Bob Nightingale on a bench. So, Bob, what did you think of what I said about Cole and Bieber?
No, I agree with that. I mean, Indians aren't, they're not scared of the Yankees. Yankees aren't afraid of Cleveland either. The Yankee offense, kind of got shut down there toward the end of the season. It's a streaky team. I mean, they hit, 19 home runs in three games against the Blue Jays, then didn't home run, then hit a homer for the next 3 days. If Cleveland can shut down DJ LeMahieu, I think they're sitting pretty. I do believe that with Cleveland's depth in the starting pitching, that they can afford to lose game one with Bieber. I don't think the Yankees can afford to lose game one with Cole.
Yeah, I mean, but I just have – do you remember watching them? It's the funniest thing because everyone fears the Yankees lineup, right? And then they always worry about the pitching. But it's been the exact opposite in the postseason, Bob. The Yankee pitching has come through for them. It's the bats that have gone silent.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in the postseason. Usually the star guys get shut down because so much attention's put on them. With the scouting reports and everything else. But yeah, if they can shut down LeMahieu and keep Luke Voit from hitting home runs, you got like your chances. And Bieber's been outstanding. The bullpen, Brad Hand, I think he's closed out the season with 15 consecutive saves. So things are, you know, and they're starting to hit. I mean, that offense was so abysmal all year long. Now, finally, at the end of the season, they finally got hot. So this is one of the hottest teams in baseball.
Yeah, and they kicked the White Sox ass. And then let's face facts. Like, really, I don't know the exact numbers, but over the last 30 games, the Yankees have been terrible. I mean, remember they lost 15 out of 20, and then they won six in a row, or eight in a row they won, and then they dropped, like, what, six straight or something. I mean, they've been ugly.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's not like they, you know, the fact of the matter is, I mean, they came close. If the Blue Jays had won that last game, the Yankees would have been the number eight seed going to Tampa. That's how poorly they played down the stretch. I mean, it's almost unfathomable to think that they barely got in the playoffs. So, yeah, they have not played good baseball. You know, no one's going to remember that if they get out of the first round. So it's going to be tough. I mean, you got Cleveland in there, you got Tampa, you got Oakland. I mean, it's the American League is really going to be tough to get through there to the World Series.
So speaking of the White Sox and A's, they start up tomorrow, and I'm skipping the Astros Twins just for a second, because we were just talking about Cleveland beating the White Sox. You talk about how tough Oakland is. Do you think Giolito can go out there tomorrow and, you know, I mean, that game's in the – it's at noon West Coast time in the bright sun in Oakland, California. Do you think that he'll go out there and beat the A's? I have my druthers. The bottom line is the A's have been back. They just keep going back to the playoffs. They're very experienced for a team with no money. They always make the postseason, it seems like. And the White Sox haven't been there in forever.
Yeah, I like the Oakland A's in this series. I mean, Chicago just hit a wall there. I mean, just kind of collapsed down the stretch. And they hit the best record in the American League for a while. And then you spell apart. So they're not pitching well, not hitting well. And Oakland's got a chip on their shoulder. You know, Bob Nolan came out and said, hey, we got the second best record in the American League. Why are we playing at noon? You know, why the Yankees are always at, you know, the primetime game? He goes, we got to get up at 7 o'clock, get our test for COVID, and then, you know, start taking BP at 9. He just thought it was grossly unfair. So they could use that as a chip on their shoulder to, you know, play well. I think Oakland is a great, great team. It's too bad, you know, for their sake, they lost Matt Chapman. You know, this guy's a superstar.
Well, I mean, the Yankees, Cole and Bieber's the best matchup of the day. And here's another news flash for them. The Yankees, no matter what their record is, believe me, the White Sox don't matter compared to the New York Yankees in the world of baseball. Let's just face facts. It doesn't matter how bad the Yankees are. They're still more important than those Chicago White Sox. You know it, and so do I, Bob. So that's a real easy decision which game to put on network television at night. And if listening to the White Sox cry about it, is that maybe that's their problem. Maybe that's why they never seem to get it done. They won in 05, but that's it, because they don't matter. They've never mattered.
No, I'm sorry. It was the A's. It was the A's complaining. It wasn't the White Sox.
Yeah, well, they don't get it done either. They don't get it done either.
Still,
they don't get it done either. I mean, they don't. I mean, they don't,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So, no, everyone's.
I mean, let's face facts. All right, so let's.
Dodgers, those will always be the primetime games. I'm shocked. The Cubs are like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, that stock has kind of dropped. But, yeah, Yankees and Dodgers will always be our primetime.
That's right. Astros and Twins in Minneapolis. What kind of advantage at all? I know there's no fans, but what kind of advantage do they have playing at Target over the next three games?
Well, they you know, at least they have the experience. You know, they've all been there, you know, throughout these years. And one of the things, you know, the Twins you know, I mean, the guys have changed and things like that, but they lost 16 straight playoff games. I mean, that's hard. That's hard to do. You know, thank God for them. They're not playing the Yankees. I mean, they can never beat the Yankees. But
right.
You know, I think this is the year they finally break that streak. They're a better team than Houston. I mean, Houston's what, two games below 500. You know, they got Zach Greinke, and that's, you know, there's really a drop off after Greinke. But you know, I don't see them hanging with the Twins. I think the Twins are a very good team. I really do.
Yeah, so do I. By the way, not to interrupt, but the Dallas Stars are down to a minute left. They got the empty net. They're down two goals. It's 2-0 Tampa, under a minute to go, and they're on the extra attacker, but they haven't been able to get close to Vasilevsky, to be honest with you. And I think the Lightning are going to be drinking from the Stanley Cup here in a couple of minutes. They're down to 40 seconds to win the Stanley Cup. Dallas has done nothing this entire game. Puck goes out of bounds, 37 seconds left. So the Blue Jays and Rays tomorrow night, that one's at 5 p.m., but all I know is Blake Snell's pitching, and that's all I need to know. Am I crazy to say that, Bob, against Shoemaker? Blake Snell is so tough, and I think that Rays team, I won't deny the Jays have some bats, but the Rays have the goods, the playoff goods, and the experience and everything about it, the pitching. They have to be better than this Toronto team.
Yeah, and then the Toronto team's taking a big chance, too. I mean, they're having Schumacher start game one. He just can't start, pitching. He was hurt. They're saving Ryu for game two. I guess it doesn't matter as long as you pitch one of the first three. But Taiwan Walker's pitched very well, and he's pitching game three if there is a game three. But, yeah, I mean, I think that would be easily the biggest upset of the first round if Toronto knocked off Tampa. Because on paper, the Rays are the best team in the American League.
So on Wednesday, there's eight games, and then I actually I looked at it before. I think the same thing on – am I wrong? Is it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 games on Thursday as well? That's going to be great. So 4 on Tuesday, 8 on Wednesday, 8 on Thursday. So Dodgers-Brewers. I think the Brewers have been awful. Yelich has been awful. I think the Dodgers are going to kick their ass.
Yeah, Dodgers are a better team, especially without Corbin Burns. That was a big loss. They really took some hits in pitching wise. That one looks like a mismatch. And that would easily be the biggest upset in the National League, just to see the Dodgers go down. I mean, the Dodgers, should be the heavy favorite to win the World Series. They're deeper and stronger, more talented than any team in baseball. So yeah, that one might be as equally as a big a shock if Milwaukee's able to knock it off, just because they don't have that pitching depth. But what they do have is that bullpen with Devin Williams and Josh Hader, pitching seventh, eighth, and ninth innings.
Well, there you go. The Lightning just won the Stanley Cup, and they're jumping all over Vasilevsky and going crazy on the ice in the bubble with no fans, but they got it done. They were the best team in hockey all year. And they proved it. And I had them all year winning the Stanley Cup, even after they failed last year and got swept out of the playoffs. They were the best team I've seen on ice, bar none, and they got it done. Bob, I have to ask you, the Dodgers are the best team in baseball. Do you think they could finally win a World Series?
I do. I think, especially with the division series and the LCS not having days off, I think that just benefits the Dodgers because they have more depth than anybody else. If they saw David Price, if he had not opted out, I think it would have been, lights out. So, they got some flaws. Bellinger hasn't had a great year. Back in the bullpen, can get a little shaky at times. But, as long as Walker Buehler's fine, Kershaw's pitching like he did a few years ago, they seem set. I can't see anybody knocking them off, particularly not in the National League. World Series, if it's a Rays, okay, maybe. But I still think they're the team to beat.
So do you think the Reds can upset the Braves? A lot of people and your buddy Scott Miller thinks the Reds are going to win the World Series or at least make it to the World Series.
They're a scary team. If I was the Dodgers, they're probably saying their prayers. You're going to have to face them first round. When you got, Bauer and Castillo and Sonny Gray going 1, 2, 3. I'm surprised the Braves are such a big favorite. I think the Reds beat them. I think the Reds are very, very good. Now, I don't think they'll go to the World Series. I don't believe that. But I think they're very scary in a short series. I really do. I like them over there.
Do you think the Marlins can give the Cubs problems?
I don't. Just with the pitching problems they just had. All these injuries, we'll see what Sanchez does. He was pitching so well, then he kind of hit a wall here the last two starts. you know, Arenas, you know, broke his forearm. So if that had happened, I think they might give him some trouble. But, you know, yeah, the Cubs, all those guys have been together. You know, this might be their last stand together. So I cannot see them. I can't see this being 2003 again. I think the Cubs beat the Marlins.
So you know the Cardinals always win world championships. They don't mess around. They get to the NLCS and World Series. Like, it's so unbelievable what they've done as a franchise. I don't even think they're that good this year at all. They barely made it in. But I'll bet you they give the Padres problems. They just, for some reason, in the postseason, the Cardinals write their own history.
No, I'm with you. Another one. I think they're huge underdogs too. I don't see that. I think the Cardinals beat the Padres. I do. I mean, same thing. These guys have so much confidence. You know, everybody counted them out when they were off for 17 days and having 11 double hitters during the season. And they know how to win. They really do. I mean, that's the. I think they're the model organization in baseball. They just win year after year after year, with always just a middle of the road payroll.
Yeah, I mean, they are unbelievable. They just always get it done. They always end up where they shouldn't be, and that's in the World Series. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. But I guess if the Padres and Dodgers win, they would face each other. Is that right, Bob?
I'm trying to think now. So the Padres are, Dodgers number one seed, obviously. And they would play the winner of 4-5. Yeah, you're correct. You're correct.
Wow, that's crazy. I want to see that series, but I don't think we will. I'm with you. I like the Cardinals. Bob, great stuff tonight. We'll catch up throughout the playoffs. I know you're going to be busy, but you know I'll be bothering you. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight.
No, my pleasure. Take care, Scott. See you, buddy.
All right, Bob. Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Straight down on the bench. The Tampa Bay Lightning have won the Stanley Cup. All right, so for all on the bench, Gary Bettman's handing out hardware. He's about to give the Conn Smythe Trophy and then the Stanley Cup, obviously. So I just hope he speeds it up a little bit. We don't want to, like, drag this out, do we? Just give a trophy to the guy. He's just rambling on and on. What is going on here? Can we just bring the guy over and get the award? Would that be all right? I don't know what's happening. He's still talking. Not one player's listening to him. He's still talking. I mean, what is he doing? COVID testing? What is happening here? Can we just get it done already? He's still talking. Here we go. They're going to give it to Hedman. They're going to give the Conn Smythe Trophy to Hedman. Are you kidding me? Like, is that possible? Like, do you really think, Mafia, that he was the best player? Braden Point was the best player. And I thought Palat had an amazing run. Listen, I know Hedman's an incredible defenseman. There's no getting around it. The guy's a freak. He's a monster. He's just the biggest guy in the NHL. But, I mean, I won't deny he played great. But you can't even argue with Braden Point and Palat with the amount of goals they scored. Like, don't they usually give it to some guy that scores tons of goals to win the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, they usually do. And they outscored him by like a dozen. Point had like 32 points at his 21. Only a couple more goals, 13 to 10. But I guess since he plays 20 minutes a game and, you know, was a big factor that way, they give him that too.
So they're bringing out the Stanley Cup right now. Anyway, did Kansas City score again? I mean, I can't keep track of all this. So now they're up, 34 to 20. They're still up 14. So evidently, we don't have a game going on in the Charter City. Thank God I didn't watch it.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.